From 1 John 5, verses 1 through 13. Everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born from God. Whoever loves someone who is a parent loves the child born to the parent. This is how we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep God's commandments. This is the love of God. We keep God's commandments. God's commandments are not difficult, because everyone who is born from God defeats the world. And this is the victory that has defeated the world, our faith. Who defeats the world? Isn't it the one who believes that Jesus is God's Son? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. The three are testifying, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are united in agreement. If we receive human testimony, God's testimony is greater, because this is what God testified. He has testified about His Son. The one who believes in God's Son has the testimony within. The one who doesn't believe God has made God a liar, because that one has not believed the testimony that God gave about His Son. And this is the testimony. God gave eternal life to us, and this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who doesn't have God's Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of God's Son, so that you can know you have eternal life. Blessings, Steve.
So we're going to conclude our reading and view of 1 John, the book of 1 John, with this message this morning. And I want to start by concluding here, looking at this chapter, that Jesus has a central, crucial, and indispensable role in God's eternal story. That seems to be what John is saying to us in this chapter, seems to be what John is concluding throughout this book, and really it's the testimony of the New Testament, that Jesus has this central, crucial, indispensable place in this eternal story of God. Jesus is central in the fact that He is the way, the revelation of how we understand God. The perfect witness of the love and the truth of God that's come in human flesh to show us what God's all about. And Jesus is crucial in this unfolding redemption story of how people are brought near to God. And Jesus is at the very center of that. But also Jesus is central to our own faith. It's in Jesus that we put our faith. It's through Him that we find the reception of God's grace and God's love and God's forgiveness and God's life. So one way that the church has simply declared that over the centuries is to say that Jesus is Lord. Just a simple three-word declaration of that central place of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Someone tried to make in 30 words, tried to describe the good news of Jesus. And this is how he described it. I think he tried to use a lot of S words, so you'll notice that. Jesus is the Son of God, and he was sent to show us God's love, to save us from the power of sin, to set up God's reign in this world and for eternity, and to shut down empty religion that doesn't lead us into a relationship with God, so that we can share in God's life, So I added words there to fill it out or make it more understandable. But Jesus is the Son of God. He's been sent to us to show us God's love, to save us from that the power, the oppressive power of sin, to set up and invite us into this established reign of God, and to shut down the ways that we do religion that doesn't lead us to a heart and an obedient relationship with God, so that we can share in this life that God is all about. So the key, it seems like the key word through 1 John 5 here is testimony. A lot of testimony is given about this Jesus. And when we think about the testimony that's given here that we might give, there's a number of ways we can look at that testimony, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is central and crucial and indispensable. The one is that, looking at it could feel like this Christian belief is so exclusive. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the way to come to the Father. For us who have come to believe, who have come to experience this in our life, this life-changing love and good news and life that flows into us, it becomes our clear testimony of what we've come to believe. That if we take away any of it, it loses its power. It loses its coherence. You know, if we don't believe everything that Jesus said or everything that was made manifest through him, then somehow it loses its power of testimony, but also we lose something in our life if it's not all true. I was like, when I would hear how David Schenck would write about or talk about how he would have these respectful dialogues with people of other faiths, especially people of Muslim, Islam faith, but Muslim people, and just be able to share back and forth. But what he shared about his faith or his belief in Jesus was always, I need to be fully honest about what I've come to know, what I've come to experience. So in talking, I don't want to water any of that down. I want to give you an honest and clear representation of what I've come to believe and what I've experienced in my life. So it becomes this powerful testimony that we have, especially as we walk in it, as John invites us to do. And then the third thing is that this becomes our invitation to other people. I invite you to experience what I've experienced in the fullness of Christ. And that's how John begins this book, if you remember. We announced to you that which existed from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen, what we've touched, what our hands have handled, about the word of life. This is what we've found. This is what we've experienced. We want to give testimony to you that you might share in fellowship with the Father and Son. And if that happens, our joy will be complete. That's how John begins this book. So I want to talk a little bit more about how in this particular passage, what this testimony is about Jesus. And I want to say this at the beginning, like, if it's helpful for you to have it in front of you, either you have a Bible or on your phone, as I refer to different things, you might find that helpful. But there's three ways that John here, just in these 13 verses, talks about how Jesus is in such a central role. In verse 1, it says that if we've come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we're born from God. And whenever John talks about believing, it's always much deeper than just coming to an understanding, but it's when we entrust our very lives to this Jesus. We've been born anew from God. Sounds like a really powerful testimony about the centrality of Jesus. In verse 4 and 5, through Jesus, John says, we've defeated the world. And that's not some kind of victorious, that we are victors or dominant over this world around us. But when John talks about the world, it's those things that entice us away from God and away from the life that God has for us. So we have this overcoming power over these things that keep us from fully finding life, the life that God has for us. And then in verse 11 and 12, God has given eternal life to us, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. Again, a really powerful statement about the centrality of Jesus. But it's not just this abstract belief in this Jesus who's the Son of God. But John throughout this book clearly says it's the sending of Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus, that God in the flesh came to us and everything that he accomplished for us, his life, his death, his resurrection, all of it matters and all of us is important to this Jesus. In verse 6, I don't know about you, when I read through this passage, and maybe when you heard it this morning, there was just so much, and it didn't necessarily flow in a nice pattern. There's just a lot that John throws out here. So hopefully I can help bring some clarity as we talk about these verses. But one of the things here is that this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by blood. What is it that the water and the blood give testimony about Jesus? Most people conclude that the water has to do with Jesus' baptism, the blood has to do with Jesus' death and resurrection. So again, I hear John saying the full package of Jesus matters. And he's, in this whole book, he's talking against some of these opponents that have risen up in the church that are selecting parts of Jesus that they like and rejecting others. We like the glorious Jesus. We like this Jesus from whom we feel like we have this spiritual, almost like a spiritual supremacy over other people. We're at this higher strata of spiritual life. But in doing so, it disconnects them from life in this world. And so obedience in daily life to God, especially loving others, that's not so important to us, or just the emphasis that Jesus gave his life, God being so self-sacrificial. You know, those kinds of things just weren't as important to them as the glorious, highly spiritual stuff. John's saying it all matters. His life matters as represented by the water or by his baptism into his mission. His life, his teachings, the way he demonstrates how he humbly obeyed the Father as a man, the love that he showed to people, the healing that he offered, the power over evil, the invitation for others to join the kingdom of God, the way he called people to repentance, you know, all those things, they matter. They're part of how Jesus is at the very center of things. And there was testimony given when that water poured over Jesus. There was testimony about him from John the Baptist. Look, I baptize with water. This one will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So there was testimony over Jesus at his baptism. But then also the blood testifies to Jesus, according to John here, his death and his resurrection. It matters that God came self-sacrificially to show us his love, even willingly dying and going to the cross. It's important that atoning sacrifice for our sins that John talks about. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It matters that in his death and resurrection, Jesus, as John would put it, defeated the work of the devil, that Jesus defeated sin and evil and death on our behalf. When he was on the cross, John writes in his gospel that he was pierced in his side. And if you remember, what flowed out? Blood and water. And John in his gospel gives testimony to that. It's true, that happened. And the gospel of John's a really symbolic gospel compared to the others. Remember, the blood that flowed out from Jesus, representing that redemptive part of Jesus, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but also that water flowed out, the Jesus, the living water, Jesus, the one who offers life and living water to us. John said, I saw it, I give testimony to it. But he also says there's this third thing that gives testimony. Not just the water, not just Jesus' life and his death and resurrection, but the Spirit joins with those other two, and the three of them are united in their testimony of Jesus. John says, human testimony's fine. He doesn't negate human testimony, but he says God's testimony is even greater. The testimony of John the Baptist, that's good. My testimony from John, that's good. Our own testimony about Jesus, great. But there's an even greater testimony, and that's God's testimony about his son. God's testimony when he says, this is my beloved. Listen to him. God's testimony when he vindicates Jesus and raises him from the dead. The Spirit of God who speaks to our hearts and confirms these truths as we experience God's love through Jesus. But also I think John would agree that God's testimony also is us. You know, look at how I am working eternal life into all those who have come to believe and follow Jesus and experience his love and experience his truth. Look at how eternal life is being made manifest in my people, in all of us. That's a testimony from God. What comes out of us as we experience the love of Christ is that we in turn love God and love others. And that gets expressed. John here says, those who love the parent love the children as well. Another thing here that took a little time to understand for me. But, you know, we have three children. They haven't been here very often, but my sense is if they come, you all will welcome them because they belong to us. Not because I'm pastor, but any one of you, if your children come, we welcome, if our children come, we welcome them just as we welcome and love and respect their parents. And John has a hard time understanding how can we declare that we love the Father, but we don't love his children? How can you say I love God, but then hate your brothers and sisters? Doesn't make sense to me. But God's testimony, that Jesus is the one, is the anointed one or whatever, is the effect that Jesus has on our lives, how we love God and how we love others. And the other thing he says in this chapter is that these commands, if we love God, we'll follow his commands. And his commands are not burdensome or difficult, I think our scripture said. And if you think about what's burdensome in your life, it's those things that they feel like an obligation. They feel like you question the value of doing it. You have no motivation to do it. Cleaning the bathroom, you know, fill in your own burdensome item in your life. There's just something that there's a lack of motivation or value in doing these things. But now we who are the children of God, motivated by this love, motivated by the grace of God, experiencing that the power of Christ in us is defeating the world, breaking those false desires that we have, that this world offers us all we need. And I'm going to seek after those things, and I don't need the greater eternal things of God. As those things are being broken, as love motivates us, we're set free for resurrected life, for kingdom purposes. We're set free from the allure of the world to things like love and generosity, service, creativity for the sake of God, beauty, peace with God, reconciliation with others, offering hope and healing to other people. This new life, when we find the Son, we find life. And that's how I'd like to end today. Up in front of you, the idea is to display abundance. And when we find Christ, we find the abundance of life, even today, but the abundance of life for all eternity. And this abundance, the things that I mentioned, generosity and peace and reconciliation and joy in life and creatively being able to serve a higher purpose, all those things, is this abundance that we can experience. But it's not meant to be like, this is so great that I get this. The whole reason this abundance is given to us, the abundance of Christ, is that we'd share that with others, that we'd share it with the world. And so when we think about the abundance of this table, the abundance of Christ, in whatever way we think of abundance from God, it's meant to, as we receive it by grace, that we share it with others, that we share it with the world. So keep those things in mind as we come together, as we come forward for communion this morning. May we find life. When we find the Son, we find life, John says. May that be true for us today. And just those images of the banqueting table in the eternal kingdom, that not just that we're going to banquet all the time, I don't think, but for all eternity, we'll experience this abundance of right and true relationships. No brokenness in them. The abundance of peace and security. The abundance of purposeful living. That whatever eternity holds, it's gonna be that reflection of the Son. And we have life through the Son. So now let's pray for a pure heart as we come to communion. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we honor you. You came to us. You were sent. You emptied yourself of all heavenly glory. You set that aside. You humbled yourself. You became obedient as a man. You were obedient even to death on the cross for us. The one who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And therefore you were exalted to the highest place. And you were given the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, in this communion service, we want to renew our faith. We want to renew the fact that we entrusted our lives to you, that you might give us new life, that you might deliver us from the old, and that your living water might give us new life, that we walk as Jesus walked, that we experience the glory of being forgiven and offering that forgiving love to other people. We know that through all of this, through this faith, we have life with you today and forever. And we are so grateful for that. As we are enriched by this holy food, may it strengthen us to go and follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Just as Jesus was incarnated, he took on flesh and he lived in this world and he blessed this world. Send us out strengthened to be the blessing of Jesus to the world around us. May he be the center. May everything about the reality of Jesus change our hearts and our lives. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.